You know, one thing that I've noticed about mobile games and just games in general is that adults, those who are older, don't actually realize that they themselves, and they don't often call themselves out, that they themselves might be addicted to these games. There are many things that people are addicted to, particularly on our phones. And of course, the issue should never be whether you should be engaging and indulging in those things or not. Because believe it or not, there are studies that have been done that show that for you to take a break and enjoy a game, enjoy solving a puzzle, enjoy solving a problem, or for you playing something that challenges you to think about what to do in terms of which direction to take in your approach in solving a problem is actually good for you mentally, as opposed to you just turning on a show and watching an entire season where your mind isn't doing most of the work. You're not solving any problems. So there are some good aspects to that. The problem then arises here. A lot of these games that we play on our phones have been engineered to be addictive, as in there are people who are very smart, who've studied degrees, who understand how the human mind works, the whole thing of serotonin and dopamine, how to activate those chemicals in our brains by using the phones that we have in our pockets. Those people study human behavior or consumer behavior, of which you and I are consumers of these games. And they go out of their way in order to find different ways in which they can get us addicted. Now, that's something that's very, very important for us to consider. Very important for us to consider. Why? Because there are people studying and trying to figure out how they can get you addicted to something. Right? Imagine there are people sitting in a lab and they're trying to figure out how they can get you addicted to something. Now, I know that it sounds like I might only be addressing those who are older, but this is especially the problem with young people, because the younger you are, believe it or not, and whether you like it or not, the younger you are, the more susceptible you are to these tactics that these companies use in order to get you addicted. You know, when you're young, the one thing you never want to admit is just how unwise you are and just how much you lack knowledge, wisdom, and intellect. But unfortunately, you do lack those things. Especially wisdom. And wisdom says once you've identified the problem and once you have enough knowledge about the problem, then you need to figure out how to solve the problem in spite of how much you enjoy participating in that problem. That's what wisdom will tell you. But unfortunately, as a young person, that's not something you have in abundance. And that's why we have such conversations, right? To normalize the wise behavior so that you don't feel like you're the only one who's not playing that cool game that the rest of your friends are playing. So it's important, first of all, for us to acknowledge the fact that these games are engineered to be addictive. If they are engineered to be addictive to adults, imagine more you as a young person. So sometimes it's not that you yourself have the problem, it's that the game itself has a problem. But we also have to also balance this with saying that not every game is designed to be addictive, and not every game, in fact, most games do come with benefits. It's good, and it releases stress for you to allow your mind to release chemicals that cause you to feel a sense of satisfaction from solving a puzzle or a problem. And there are games that are less addictive, right? Like chess is a game that only few people would find chess, Scrabble, some board games that you can also play on your phone are less addictive than others, right? The games where you're competing with people through solving word problems, math problems, quiz games, they can be much less addictive, especially because you might need another player to actually play the game and experience fun with it. Like you actually have to compete against someone else. And I'm not trying to say that there's no addictive element to those games. What I'm trying to say is there are some games that are not as addictive as other games. Some games, in fact, help you build your relationship with your partner. I mean, my partner and I have been using a game in order to get to know each other better, even though we've been together for so long. I mean, she's been in my life for as long as I've, longer than I've been in Pretoria, which I came when I came to start varsity. And now I've finished. We now have jobs. We're building a family together. So you can imagine how much we know each other. But we have this game. It's a quiz game that helps us quiz each other in order to strengthen our bond and our relationship and make sure that we get to know each other better and better. So there are benefits to games. In fact, games can even help you learn certain subjects, certain scientific studies or mathematical studies or even coding. There are some games that are built around you understanding how to code. So I'm not trying to say that there is no use to gamifying our lives and having certain types of games on our phones. But it is important to acknowledge those games that are built for addiction, you know. And I'm not going to obviously list the games. You can literally just Google it. You can Google which games are built for the people who use them to be addicted to them, or which are the most addictive games that are known to be the most addictive in the world on mobile games specifically. And the problem with mobile games, if we just zoom into why we specifically chose to speak on mobile games, is the fact that they're in your pocket. It's in your pocket and it's easy to access. And often, more often than not, they're free, right? Like almost north of 90% of the games on your phone, you can play them. They're free to play, even though they do have microtransactions, which is like small purchases that they'll ask you to buy in order for you to keep playing. Maybe you spend something like 20 rands or 25 rands. And if you're already addicted to the game and it's bringing you a lot of relaxation and dealing with your anxiety, of course, you're more likely to cough up money and pay for that game. So these are things to consider when engaging and participating in such games. And some of the ways in which we can start to move away, right, from this addiction. The first thing I will recommend is find an app that restricts your interaction with these games in during certain times. For example, you don't need to be playing games at the dinner table. You don't need to be playing games as you're getting ready for work, brushing your teeth, taking a shower. There is absolutely no need. Of course, there will be times during the day where you want to just get your mind off of something or take a break from your work while you're having lunch at work. But as far as when you're socializing with your family, when you're in a cinema, you can allow, or even if you're in a meeting, right, you know when during the day. In fact, for me, I feel like your phone, when you wake up in the morning, especially doing social things that are not productivity related, you should start accessing those things from 9 a.m. onwards. It can be later if you know that you can do without even later, but I think from 9 a.m. onwards, and then in the evening you can start 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. onwards. You know, you don't want to access those things, but during the day you can absolutely access them whenever you get a chance. So do start considering downloading certain applications. I use one called Blocker X, which I've found to be the most effective. And the one that has the least, remember that you are working together with these applications. So if you're going to keep trying to hack them, they're not going to work for you, because you definitely will find ways to hack their systems or hack the apps themselves. Especially the older you get and the more mature you get, you'll definitely work your way around them. So that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say that they're foolproof, but I am trying to say that you can use them to your advantage. And some other things you can consider is just ask yourself, how do mobile games affect your ability to focus on other things? Like, think about, how are they affecting your ability to interact and build bonds and relationships with your family? Because your family is very important. How can they build, shape, or help you at work? Are they interfering with your work, your productivity, your business that you may be building, or whatever project you may be working on? Are there strategies to play mobile games without getting addicted? Ask yourself that question. And one of those strategies are you can start to implement download apps, and it might take a bit of trial and error for you to find apps that work for you. For me, it took years for me to find better and better apps, and I imagine that in the future they'll get even better than where they are right now. But ask yourself, are there strategies that you can employ apart from downloading an app that'll help you, even if you speak to your partner, your friends, your people around you that are in your immediate circle, to say, whenever you see me play this game, please just tap me on the shoulder and help me put it away, because I don't want it to interfere with my interaction with you. Consider that. And then also ask yourself, what are signs of mobile game addiction? That you might be addicted to a mobile app, or more specifically a mobile game. And we've mentioned before, if you're playing it during dinner, if you're playing it during a time when you should be in a meeting, if you're leaving a room, or even while you're in a conversation with someone, anyone, you're any person, and you're on your phone playing a game, then you're addicted, because it's rude to do something like that. And of course, if you have a phone that already allows for those restrictions from when you buy the phone, that is even better. I think for now we're going to cut it right there. But the question that I'm going to leave you with is, do you think that you are addicted to your mobile game? If not, what methods have you used to test yourself as to whether you are or not? Because that's a very important question. Ask the people around you, and ask them with all sincerity, do you think, the people that are closest to you, do they think that you're addicted to mobile games, or just your phone in general?
The obsession of mobile games is our topic for discussion this evening. And thank you for giving me 5 to 10 minutes of weighing in my opinion. Now, I must be honest. I absolutely loved mobile games. And that is, again, why I am able to share with you the obsession with it and the dangers of it, because I was absolutely loving it. Now, you sort of get the same addiction to mobile games and what you get to social media, meaning you are on your phone the entire day because you are doing something. The problem being is that we've got mobile phones for a reason. You want to carry them around, you want to walk with them, and if you're unable to provide a power bank, you need to keep it plugged in, because one thing that is for certain is mobile games chow data. Right, so there are two problems that I have with mobile games. And the two problems that I'm sharing, again, out of a testimony, out of my own personal experience, what happened to me while playing mobile games, or how I lived my life while playing mobile games. You start out playing mobile games and it's very fun and it is such a cool thing. I used to play Call of Duty online and I enjoyed it. I can't even begin to explain how much I enjoyed it. I just had so much fun playing with it. I had a couple of friends. We formed a clan on Call of Duty, and we played that game, mobile Call of Duty. It was so much fun. For the first time, I was able to have online gaming community, because I don't own a gaming computer, and I had the ability to play against people around the world on my iPhone. And it wasn't even at that stage, it's still not, it's an old iPhone, but it was able to play the game and we had fun. It did eat up quite a bit, because as I said, it's a severe graphics processing and microprocessing. Then what happens is people start to get better, especially if you play a competitive game like Call of Duty. People around the world start getting better, and they are just better gamers than what I am. So, in order for you to get better, you need to play more, because that's the way it works. And then you start to play more, and then you realize, but these guys are progressing at a rate that's faster than what you do. So, that's the first thing, is you start playing more, which I will elaborate a bit later. But now, the second thing is actually what got me into trouble, can get you into trouble as well. You realize that these guys are doing better. Now, you want to do better, but you don't necessarily want to play the amount of games that they are playing. So, what do? They hui these advertisements on Call of Duty saying, like, listen, this gun shoots more accurate, this gun's reload fastest, these guns, whatever. And they are on special price today. If you buy them now, due to the fact that you won the last game, they only cost you $400 or $500. And then because of the fact that you you are in the game and you're sort of in the gaming mode, you don't make clear conscious decisions about the money that you are spending. It's not the same as checkers where you check all these items. You are in this competitive spirit. If your name is Charles the Toy, like what was the case with me, you are in this game, you are in this competitive spirit, and then you make the purchase. Then you realize, like, listen, I've bought the new guns, I've bought the grenades, I've bought the armor kit, whatever the case might be in Call of Duty, and unfortunately, I'm not that much better than the other guys. So then these things go two ways. First of all, you realize, like, listen, I'm going to switch off the game, I just get so frustrated. Or you start buying more expensive things, which is a very, very bad idea. But then you start buying more expensive things because you want to be better. And you want to be like the rest of the guys playing this thing, and you need to be competitive, right? Don't go that route. Then you want to, the other thing that happens is when you actually start winning and when you're good, you realize, like, listen, these guys see me, because you've got the five main players or whatever. You need to look cool. So then you don't even spend money on proper ammo or proper guns. You just spend money on the type of clothing that you're wearing. Absolutely stupid idea. However, we are doing it. And then, unfortunately, you realize, listen, I spent $500 to $800 on Call of Duty. I have got nothing to show for it. I don't have food to eat. I don't have electricity that I can use. I don't have clothes to wear, nothing. I just have a fictional character which can provide me with nothing, is looking cool, and he's got the best guns. I'm not providing for my family as I should be by means of playing this game. That's the one thing. That's the one aspect. The second aspect is the one that I mentioned earlier on. I want to elaborate a bit on it. You realize you need to play more in order for you to be better. So you want to be competitive. And like all things in life, it takes time and it takes practice. Mobile games is nice in the fact that they can be played anywhere. That's the cool and the magnetic effect of them. That's also the worst possible thing that can happen to you, because you're sitting in a doctor's waiting room, you pull out your phone and like, hey, I can play my game, and you're playing your game. Right, then you're sitting in a meeting, for instance, in your job or whatever the case might be, and you're like, hey, this meeting's boring, I'm gonna play my game. And what happens? You're not listening to your manager or your colleagues or whoever's ever working with you. Other thing that happens is you're sitting at home and your wife and your children's there, and you realize, I've got 5 to 10 minutes, and you start playing your game, and it never ever ends up being 5 to 10 minutes. You play for 30 to 40 minutes on end. Quality time with your wife is down the drain. Quality time with your children or your spouse, not necessarily your wife, is down the drain. Quality time with your children is down the drain, because you need to practice your game. Different from all other sports, you've got time set out. Practice time is between 2 and 3 or 6 and 7 or whatever the case might be. And you know that you've got that hour, and after that hour, your family time is your family time. Not the case when you're obsessed with mobile games, because you need to practice as much as you could, and you've got this excuse, this lame excuse in your mind, in your head, thinking that, listen, wherever I am, it's practice time. So, take it from a retired mobile gamer. The obsession is totally not worth it.